Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's that time on the radio where we listen to Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks. He's punctual as always and on the line today. Hi there, Bill.
Yeah, hi, Howard. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. No technical problems or gremlins today.
Nope.
Now, it's previous years we've talked about Tax Freedom Day and we've discussed what it is, what day it is and when it falls. And let's see if there have been any changes this year. So firstly, what is Tax Freedom Day and who calculates it?
It's a rather strange name for a day. I'm sure everybody perked their ears up when they got Tax Freedom Day, as if you know, the lottery was coming their way. For the last 10 years, the Institute Economique Molinari have been measuring the taxes that are payable across the currently 28 EU member states. And whilst that focuses on employees and the tax and social security that they pay, the national insurance type contributions, it's useful in illustrating the level of the general tax burden for each country to show how they actually compare with each other. So the study calculates what is actually called Tax Liberation Day, and the meaning of that will become clear in a moment. They calculate that for each EU member state. And this is the date, using the formula common across all 28 countries, upon which an employee has earned enough to pay off all the taxes for that year. So if you were, for example, looking at a person paying tax for the whole 12 months, this brings the total tax payments down to a number of days in the beginning of the year to work out the date upon which you cease working to pay your government and the day upon which you start to earn your money that you might keep. It identifies the average real tax rate for typical workers in each country as well. It's a huge publication every year. It contains a massive amount of useful information for people at, you know, the specialist staff at Blevins Franks and its advisors. Not something that you would read willingly unless you suffered from insomnia. Three or four pages of this particular publication and you'll be asleep in no time. So that's what it is. It's the calculation of how long you have to work in each of the EU member states before you start earning money for yourself.
Yeah. Well, it can sometimes feel that we work half of our lives just to pay taxes. Is that quite an exaggeration or a fair assessment?
I think in some cases, I mean, it does appear like that for many people. And even in retirement, it's surprising quite how the levels of taxation can impact upon the investment income of individuals, the pension income of individuals with indirect taxes and, you know, social security type payments as well. I mean, the question really is, I suppose, how long does it take you to earn money for yourself instead of the tax man? And that Tax Liberation, Tax Freedom Day, it varies quite considerably from country to country. But the whole purpose of Blevins Franks studying this data is to work out how in each of the individual European countries in which we operate and have operated for almost 40 years, how we can provide tax planning to bring down the number of days that you work to pay the tax man, or you pay the tax man out of your investment income or your pension income, to give you a greater access to the funds that you have at your disposal. And if you have, I mean, to answer your question, Howard, if you've ever had the feeling that you have spent half of your working life just paying tax, the numbers that this study shows that that isn't far wrong. What with income tax, national insurance, social security, capital gains tax, the VAT and the continental European equivalents, the council tax, excise duties and so on, considerable amounts of income clearly go direct to the tax man in one form or another. And even if you're retired, as I say, you're still faced with tax rates on savings, investments and pensions, not to mention the amount that you also pay in indirect taxes with EVA, VAT, whatever the equivalent is, wherever you live. Having paid so many taxes all of your life, surely you would want to make certain that you don't pay one penny more unto Caesar than is actually due. And that's why tax planning and wealth management in combination, so managing your wealth and making sure that it's tax efficient and that you hang on to as much of it as possible, is an important part in protecting your wealth, not just during your retirement for the benefit of improving your net disposable income, but also making sure that you don't end up at the end of your life having your estate denuded because of inadequate planning in advance.
So, Bill, is there a range of tax freedom days over Europe, or are they fairly similar? Which countries have the highest and lowest tax burdens?
The report for 2019 shows that the average tax freedom day, the average tax freedom day across the European Union, is the 12th of June. But the results have ranged from becoming free of the tax burden on the 8th of April up to and including the 19th of July. It seems almost impossible to imagine that an average employee can start work on the 1st of January and at the 19th of July has only just finished paying off his annual tax bill, as it were, and the rest of the year belongs to him. There's a disparity between the earliest tax freedom date of the 8th of April and the 19th of July of about 14 weeks. And meanwhile, the difference between the lowest and highest real rate of tax was more than double. The real rate of tax remaining at around 44.5%, this year's average rate, actually broke a four-year trend, as I mentioned last year, where we'd had a declining tax rate. But now that economies are generally covered, the tax take is increasing. Who had the highest rate? Well, it's no surprise, really, but for the fourth year running, France has the dubious honour of holding the latest tax freedom date on the 19th of July. That, in part, is thanks to the reduction in social contributions in 2019. This is the earliest that France have hit their tax freedom date since these studies began, 8 days earlier now than last year, and actually 10 days earlier than in 2017, which is, you know, quite helpful if you're an employee on average earnings in France. But nonetheless, just think about that. The 19th of July is the period in time at which, if you started work on the 1st of January, you've been working solely to pay the government their dues, and the remainder 5.5 months of the year is left for you to enjoy your annual labours.
And how's the Spain fare, Bill?
Yeah, Spain does pretty well. I mean, Spain, you know, has never really been you know, thought of as a high tax economy, although in the last few years, since the you know, the great crash of 2008-2009, of course, Spain has been a high tax economy, and they have beefed up their game as their continuing membership of the EU has demanded that they, you know, collect IVA, they collect more tax. And so, according to the Molinari study, Spain's tax freedom day actually fell on the 8th of June. Now, when you consider in France it's the 19th of July, I mean, for me, the 8th of June sounds a bit late in the day to be, you know, paying the government off, but then you've got about a six-week difference with France. It's ninth in the European Union ranking, so it's up in the top half as to free tax freedom days. And that means that Spanish employees, all of this on average, work for 159 days of the year just to pay off their overall average tax bill. And now, whilst that has been the same over the last two or three years, in fact, it's a long way off the 19th of May tax freedom date, which it enjoyed back in 2011. You'll remember the recovery from the crash, the economic circumstances of 2008-2009. Spain acted very well and very sharply in trying to recover their economy. And by 2011, they were looking at the tax freedom date of the 19th of May, and that's now gone to the 9th of June, so it's gone back by 3 weeks. The average gross salary in Spain in this study is quoted at €34,500, but after a real tax rate, that is to say the income tax rate, the social contributions and the average VAT payments, the tax rate is 43.31, and workers in the country are left therefore with about €19,500 of their gross salary, average salary, to spend on themselves and their families.
Can we expect any improvement in the coming years?
Sorry, I didn't mean to snigger at that. I would be surprised, given that the economy of Spain needs to generate considerable income to fund its various spending programmes. I don't really expect that Spain will move very far from its ninth position in the league table. It's possible that there could be reductions in taxation, but that really isn't the name of the game right now. There is a lot of precariousness in the global economy. I can't imagine at the moment that Spain would start reducing taxes faster or at all, but faster than any other economy in the European Union. So I don't really expect any significant improvements over the next few years.
Well, the study focuses on working taxpayers. What about retirees? Should they still be concerned about their tax burden?
Sure. I mean, you know, look, I don't mean to sound as if I'm patronising anyone, but pretty much every single new prospective client that walks through the doors of Blevins Frank's offices, they come with, generally speaking, very sensible investments and very sensible pensions arrangements and a reasonable understanding of the local tax system and how they might or might not juggle their affairs to mitigate against the worst impositions of taxation. But, you know, the inner sanctum of Spanish taxation is a very complex area. You don't only have capital gains and income taxes to consider, but if you're living in retirement, you really do have to start considering the consequences of being a Spanish resident for Spanish succession tax as well. Now, under the UK-Spain double tax treaty, there is a treaty there to protect you from paying tax on income or gains in both jurisdictions. The various statutes and the tax treaty will work out where your tax would be paid. However, when it comes to estate duty or inheritance tax in the UK, it isn't covered by the double tax treaty. So you need to be sitting down talking to advisors about how you position your estate so that whilst you may, Blevins Frank certainly will look to improve your income by virtue of wealth management and tax planning, but they will also be looking to make sure that at the end of your life, your estate will be passed over as intact as possible, and in some cases without any estate duty or succession tax or inheritance tax to pay at all by forward planning. And that is why the earlier you start to plan, the more beneficial it will be for your beneficiaries after your life is over.
What about the UK? What is its Tax Freedom Day?
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, in this study, the UK's Tax Freedom Day came fourth. It really isn't a harsh tax economy compared to most of the rest of continental Europe. We shall have to wait and see what happens, of course, once the Brexit arrangements are finally and formally put into place. It quotes in the report the real tax rate, the income tax, national insurance and average VAT payments by the average employee. The real tax rate is around 34.94%. But, you know, a lot of these think tanks like this, you know, the Institute Molinari, they tend to undertake their own research to calculate their country's tax freedom date using different methodologies. While this Institute Economic Molinari looks at income tax and social security contributions and VAT, the UK's Adam Smith Institute measures the entire tax take, including taxes that don't come directly out of the earner's pocket. So there are sometimes differences. The Adam Smith Institute approach places the UK's 2019 date 3 weeks later to the 30th of May, one day later than its 2018 position. And that is probably the latest it's been since comparable records were taken from this institute in 1995. But remember, as I say, the UK's Adam Smith Institute measures the entire tax take, including taxes that don't come out directly from the individual's pocket.
So what can people do to protect their wealth from tax?
There isn't one answer for everybody. Clearly, we all have to pay our fair share and contribution towards the services that we all enjoy, whether it's rubbish collection or decent quality streets and roads and security and, you know, all the rest of it. But the simple truth is there is a massive amount of tax paid in excess to what is actually due from individuals by virtue of not understanding quite how you might position your affairs to prevent the revenue putting the largest possible shovel into your stores. And the fact is that Blevins Franks for 40 years now have become expert, if you like, in and skillful in understanding how Spanish legislation works, in where there are opportunities within that legislation to position your financial arrangements in such a way that as little tax as possible is applied to your investment income, your pension income, and to make sure that you're planning for succession tax is properly in place, and also as far as UK inheritance tax is concerned as well. Because the real benefit of Blevins Franks is that it operates on a local basis with all of its advisors and senior advisors, senior partners all happen to live and work in the same environment as their clients. But of course, they do have the resources both in Malta, where we operate out of a European Union base, but also in the UK, where we've got specialist tax advisors who understand Spanish law, French law, the laws of Malta, the laws of Cyprus, so that we can give very detailed, in-depth advice to make sure that whatever structure is suited to your personal circumstances, you will end up in almost every single case that we've ever met where a potential client walks through the door. There's hardly a time, I can't remember one time indeed, when the client hasn't, when the client has become a client, when they haven't actually ended up paying less tax than they pay before they were a client.
And if people are listening, how can they get in touch with you to become a client?
I think the website, just to give an individual confidence, isn't a bad place to start. It's an extensive website. It carries these radio recordings. It carries some newspaper articles that we've written for established publications. And it gives a much better feel for the business as a whole. You'll see that we've written books about living in Spain, and that's fairly technical. But nonetheless, it's a place to start to find out about Blevins Franks. The best thing to do, though, is to make sure that you contact the local office, because they will offer you the opportunity of meeting for a cost-free discussion about your circumstances, what it is you're looking to achieve, and you will get objective and impartial advice based upon what you're looking to achieve, so that Blevins Franks can work with you to get you further towards your aspirations in a healthy, tax-efficient manner.
Many thanks, Bill, as always. Next week, I believe we're considering, or should you consider, downsizing your property.
And that's an interesting subject, Howard, because I think we all know people who, in the words of this industry, are overhoused, perhaps, and undercapitalized, in the sense that they bought a huge property at some point in time, some time ago, and now with the increasing cost of maintaining that property and the increasing cost of living, really could do with trying to use some of the money that's tied up in the property to improve their quality of life.
Well, we'll discuss that at the same time next week. Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Howard. I look forward to that.